we go into our community. Again, if you plus years ago, I took some members of church to a faith training, and you learn an outline that you're going to share. And so each letter of faith stands for a different thing to remember. And so I remember that F was for forgiveness. I remember T was for turn, and H was for heaven. I could not remember what A and I were. But the Lord used me and the team I was on to share with a gentleman, and we were able to lead him to a personal relationship with Christ. And so I tell folks, he didn't get saved by faith, he got saved by... So we will make mistakes. We might get there and things may not go as smooth as they did for Shane just a minute ago, using that conversation guide. But the point is that God is going to work through us. Amen? God works through his people. And so we recognize that it is the work of God, and we get to be a part of that today. So what is Gospel to Every Home? It is a bold initiative. During the month of August, we plan to visit 1,000 households in our community, and our prayer is that we will have gospel conversations with those who are lost and those who are without Christ in our neighborhood. So it's a bold initiative. It's going to require God's power and God's people working together as never before. And so our goal here is that we would be inspired, that we would be equipped, that we would be prepared to share the gospel with our neighbors. When I think about our mission, our mission at Friendship is to connect people with Jesus and to equip them to be a growing, faithful follower of Christ. That's really our mission. It's what we're about. We want to connect people to Christ, and then we want to equip them so that they are growing and faithful followers of him. When I think about the first part of our mission, the mission of leading others to Jesus, my mind immediately is drawn to the final verses of Matthew 28, where Jesus gives what we often refer to as the Great Commission. And as I've read this passage again and again this week, I noticed something unusual in the preceding verses. Look with me in Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Now, we rarely talk about these verses, but I think we should. These verses are important, and they're important because they set the scene for the Great Commission. Let me give you the context. Having risen from the dead, Jesus now meets his disciples. They are on a mountain in Galilee, and what follows is almost comical if you think about it. These 11 men are the closest friends that Jesus has on earth, right? I mean, these guys have walked with him for 3 years. They have done ministry together. They have listened. They have observed. They have been a part of his ministry. They have followed him through thick and thin. And Jesus is about to leave them. Jesus is about to return to heaven. And if we were to ask him, "Jesus, what's your plan to reach the world? Jesus, how are you going to go about getting your message out there to the other parts of the world?" Jesus would have said, "Well, I've got 11 guys. I've got 11 men," and that's how we would have answered it. If we said, "Well, is that all you got?" No, there are other followers, but these are my key men. These are the 11. "But I thought you had 12 disciples." "Well, I did, but one of them has betrayed me." Church, you have to agree that doesn't sound very hopeful, does it? I've got these 11 guys. It's what I've got. And then it gets worse because verse 17 says, "When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some what?" What does it say? "But some doubted." You don't hear many sermons on this verse. It's not very encouraging to lose one of your top men to betrayal. It's even worse when some of the men that you have left begin to doubt. And that word doubt, as it's used in verse 17, it means to be hesitant, to be reluctant. It's hard to build a great movement on doubting men, but church, that's what Jesus has. As he comes to the end of his life on this earth, some doubted. That is the stark reality. It's been a month. It's been almost a little over 30 days since Jesus' resurrection. And some of those whom he is counting on, some of those who have been closest to him, they still doubt. They remain uncertain about all the things that have taken place. If you're in the leader you're the leader in charge, what would you do? Well, if it was us, we might plan a crash course in apologetics. We might try to eliminate the doubts of these men, but that's not what happens in Matthew 28. Instead, Jesus seemingly ignores the whole issue. Some doubted. Jesus says, okay, let's go with what we got. Some are doubting, but let's not worry about that. Don't even worry about the doubts. Go and make disciples, and in your going, your doubts will disappear. That was the message. You're to go and make disciples, and in your going, your doubts will disappear. Church, that's exactly what happened. Listen to me. Nothing dispels doubt like speaking up for Jesus. Nothing dispels doubt like speaking up for Christ. In Matthew 28, 18, it says, Jesus came to them. He came to the 11 and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So how would the first disciples, how would they fare as they spread out to Jerusalem to share his message of repentance, his message of grace? How would the Christian message survive? Church, I can tell you, it would survive all of the assaults against it. And it would do so because all power in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ. What that means is when the disciples entered Alexandria, they need not have fear because there was no power in Alexandria that was greater than the power of Jesus Christ. And when they got to Rome, the seat of imperial power could not compare to the power that was resident in the one who sits at the right hand of the Father. And I want you to see that you and I, we have nothing to fear as we go into our community to help connect others to Christ. Why? Because the power of Jesus is at work in us. The power of Christ is at work through us. And the power of Christ, it far surpasses the power of the rulers of this world. Let me remind you of 1 John 4:4, which says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The next part is what we call the Great Commission. Jesus continued in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Now, for the moment, let's just pass over the details and let's consider just one fact. Just one fact. This mission that has been handed down to Christ followers, the mission is impossible. How are 11 men supposed to disciple all nations, especially when some of the 11 doubted? How does that happen? Looking from earth up, we would say that it simply cannot be done. But church, I think we make a huge mistake if we read the Great Commission apart from the context. Listen, Jesus isn't saying, guys, it's all up to you. He's not telling them it's all on your shoulders. Because if that were true, the Christian movement, it would have died within a few years. If it were up to the 11, you and I would likely not be sitting in this place worshiping the risen Lord today. So let me give you the real meaning of what Jesus is saying here in the Great Commission. What he says to the 11 is this. He says, look, you guys aren't equal to this. This is way beyond you. But he said, I'm able. It may be above you, but it's not above me. And Jesus says, we can do this. And just in case they missed it, he added something else in verse 20 when he reminded them, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Church, what we have is the promise of the ongoing presence of the Son of God being with his people wherever they go to the very end of the age. Folks, that's huge. Jesus says three things, three Great Commission truths. He says, I have all power. He says, all authority has been given to me on earth and on heaven. I have all power. He says, I am with you wherever you go. Whether you're in Jerusalem or Samaria, wherever you go, or Lone Oak or Paducah, wherever you go, he says, I am with you. I'm with you. So we have the promise of his power. We have the promise that he's with us wherever we go. And then the third promise, the third truth is he says, go and make disciples. Now, when we look at these three statements, look at the three of those. I have all power. I am with you wherever you go. Go and make disciples. which one of those statements do we tend to focus on? The third statement, right? We tend to think about, well, we're supposed to go and make disciples. That's what we will do later today. That's our command. That's our mandate. That's the Great Commission. We focus on the third statement. We focus on the going part. But I want you to listen, church. The going part is totally impossible without statements number one and number two. It really are. Our going is impossible without God having all power. Our going is impossible without God going with us. So the real message that Jesus is communicating to us today, the real message is go and I will go with you. Go and I will go ahead of you. Go and I will take care of you. If you go, I will speak through you. Church, Jesus Christ has all the authority. Amen? He started out by establishing that as the foundation, and then he laid out his plan. The truth is, Jesus could have ended right there, but instead he ended on a note of assurance. The disciples are thinking, I don't know about this. It was different when we went out and Jesus was with us and went with us. That was different. But he's not going to be with us anymore. Not personally, not in the way that he has. It was different when he walked with us. He was part of the ministry and we drew strength from him because he was here. Now he's telling us that we need to go and make disciples and he won't be with us. We can't do that on our own. Church, I think Jesus knew what the disciples were thinking. In fact, I think Jesus knows what you and I are thinking now as we think about this afternoon. And because he knows, he issues this promise. And the promise is, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's the assurance of his presence. I think it's worth noting that Matthew ends his gospel with the promise of Jesus' ongoing presence. Jesus sent them out to make disciples, but they didn't go on their own. No, the one who has all authority, the one who has all power, he would be with them always. I'm afraid that you and I fail to realize. We fail to realize the potential and the power of teaming up with Christ. Church, it seems to me that a team of two is more than enough to make an incredible impact anywhere in this world as long as one of them is Christ. And that's what we have today. Teaming up with God, that we can share the gospel with our community. I know we have a lot of fears when it comes to sharing Jesus with others. What if somebody asks me a question I can't answer? They probably will, and it'll be okay. What if I knock on a door and somebody gets angry? What if they tell me to go away? What if they say, I don't want that bag of stuff you have. Get off my property. It'll happen sooner or later. It's okay if it does. We have all kinds of fears. What if I get there and I forget what I'm supposed to say? It happens to all of us. And friend, you can avoid those situations. You can avoid those situations if you decide that you're never going to talk about your faith. If you retreat into a stained glass sanctuary much like this one, and you're only surrounded by other Christians all the time, you can avoid some of those situations. But friend, you'll never discover the true power and the presence of Jesus Christ. You'll never know if Jesus has the power to help you until you need his help. You'll never know if Jesus is with you until you decide to go somewhere in his name. And so Jesus' message, his message to you and to me is that we should have no worries about gospel to every home today. We should have no worries because he is more powerful than anything that we might run into. We should feel no pressure today because Christ is with us wherever we go. Church, that's how the Christian movement started. It started with 11 men, some of whom doubted, and the family of God has now grown to over 2 billion people some 2,000 years later. When Christ gets involved, amazing things take place. I think it's great that we bring people to church, but we need to take the church to people. And that's what we'll be about today, with the gospel to every home. Jesus has instructed us that we are to go with the gospel. I think of it sometimes like an airport. An airport is a place of connection, not a place, not necessarily a destination. An airport exists to help people get somewhere else. When you go to the airport, you don't go there to stay. You go to the airport to get somewhere else. And folks, the church exists to connect people to Jesus. And then we equip them to live out the Christian life in relationships and in neighborhoods and in jobs and with families. And so when you leave here today, you are taking Jesus with you. And he sends us out to make disciples. But we don't do that on our own. Because the one who has all authority, the one who has all power, he will be with us always and wherever we go. At the scene of a car accident, there are three groups of people. And each have a different response towards those involved in the accident. The first group is the onlookers. And they're curious. They're observing. They're taking things in. They're watching to see what happens. But they often have little active involvement. The second group is police officers. And their response is to investigate the cause. Their job is to give out the appropriate warnings and punishments. And then there's a third group, and it's the paramedics. And the paramedics, this group, they could care less about whose fault the accident was. That's not their responsibility. Their response is to help the hurting. And so they bandage wounds, and they free trapped people, and they give words of encouragement. Three groups. One is uninvolved. The other is investigating the cause and assessing punishment. And the last is helping the hurting. Friend, my question to you this morning is, which one of those three groups are you in? When it comes to reaching the lost, we're in one of those three groups. According to the Office of Health Data in Frankfort, 40,000 people in Kentucky will die in the next 365 days. Most of them will go into eternity without Christ. In the next year, 2.4 million Americans will die. Most of them will die without Jesus Christ. In the next 365 days, 54 million people in the world will die. Most of them will go into eternity without Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but those numbers are difficult for me to bear. It's hard for me to think about that. And if we care, and we say that we do, then we must share the gospel. Will you be uninvolved? Will you let those who hurt around you, will you let them die in their sin? Or will you condemn people for their foolish behavior? Or will you determine to help those who are lost, those who are hurting? Will you help them find Jesus? I know that if I was in trouble, I would welcome the most. So will you choose to get involved? I pray that you will commit to share Jesus under the power of the Holy Spirit and lead the results to God. Let's be Jesus' hands and his feet today as we reach out to our hurting community. Gospel to every home. It's going to require God's power and God's people working together to share his word. I believe God will be faithful to do his part. And I pray that you and I will be faithful to do ours. Some of you here this morning, you're without a relationship with Christ. We invite you to come today and to place your life under his management. Shane presented the gospel very clearly this morning. The message of the gospel is simply this, that all have sinned. All sin must be punished. All need salvation. All are offered salvation. All of us are without excuse. Friend, only those who put their faith in Christ will experience the love of God and eternal life. Some of you may be thinking the same thing that I thought for many, many years. I thought, well, I've blown it. I've messed up. God can never love somebody like me. And if you feel that way today, let me just tell you that the first step, the most important step that you will take toward God is to realize that you've blown it. All of us have. Every single one of us have sinned against a holy God. And recognizing your sin is the first step toward him. And so I hope you realize, I hope you understand That because of your sin, you deserve death. You deserve to be separated from God forever. But the payment for our sin, it should be made by us. But God, in His mercy, did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. He sent His only Son, Jesus. Jesus was sinless. He did not deserve death. But He took our sins and He became sin for us on the cross. He died in our place so that we might live for Him. He shed His blood. He died and rose again so that all who call upon Him will be saved and forgiven. Friend, if you will turn from your sin and you will call upon Him, He will make all things new. Everything that you've ever done wrong, God will forgive your sin. And He will fill you with His Spirit. And your life will be changed forever. Some of you can relate. Some of you say, that's me. I'm a sinner and I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Holding nothing back, I surrender all that I am and all that I have to Jesus. And I've discovered that you will never experience peace and purpose in life until you put God first. And you'll never put God first until you surrender your life to Him once and for all. If you're tired of the life that you've been living, today can be a fresh start. Right where you are, you just say to Him, Jesus, save me from my sin. Make me new. I believe You died for me so that I can live for You. Fill my life with Your Spirit so that I can serve You the rest of my days. After you've received God's gift of salvation, He wants us to identify ourselves as a believer in Christ. And we do that through baptism. Some of you have trusted in Christ, but you've not followed Him in believer's baptism. And we would invite you today, take that step of obedience. Friend, be bold. Take that step. As soon as we start singing in a moment, you meet me down here at the altar. And let us know your decision to follow Christ. Maybe God's leading you to join the church family. We'd love for you to partner with us as we reach our community for Christ. Maybe you want to come and pray at the altar today for gospel to every home. Maybe you got a friend that you know who is without a relationship with Christ, and you're burdened for that person, and you want to lift them up in prayer. You come as we sing together. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. God, You have given us incredible news to share, the gospel. Your word says that it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Lord, we pray for the lost in our community. We pray for those who live in the homes where we'll be knocking on doors today. God, give us the opportunity to have gospel conversations with those who are far from You. Lord, empower us. Remind us that as we go today, as we go and make disciples, that You're with us. Father, move this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.